It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? So glad that you've joined us today. We're in the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 24, as we continue this wonderful study. Matthew chapter 24, we're going to begin reading with verse 39, Matthew 24, 39. And so will you open your Bibles to look that up? I would share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you would like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois 62341. If you would like to visit our website, it's www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. And we've got many studies there. I hope that you would look that site up and enjoy it. The plan of salvation is presented there very clearly, and also our church constitution, so that you know exactly where we stand upon the precious Word of God. And if you'd like to email us, it's at parkviewbible@gmail.com or parkviewbiblechurch@gmail.com. Either one would work just fine. Love to hear from you. Now begin to read the precious scripture, Matthew chapter 24, verse 39. "And knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, one shall be taken, one another left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, one shall be taken, the other left. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour our Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not the Son of Man cometh. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household, to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant, whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say to you, that he shall make him a ruler over all his goods. But if that evil servant shall say in his heart, My Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and to eat and to drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder, and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." We've read to the end of chapter 24, and we'll begin with prayer. Father, we thank and praise you that we have the opportunity to come to study your precious word, to enjoy this. So please, please, just guide and lead us each and every day, Father, please, that we know your will and know your way. And this study, as all studies, are just wonderful, powerful. This is one that we better listen to, as we should all of them. But this one here is talking about, Father, your Son's return. And when that takes place, we better be ready. So, Father, please, touch every heart. Show us the way of salvation, if you do not know the truth. And please, please, come. Father, guide and lead us today through this study. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. He will return, and his return will be soon, as many of the prophecies have so fulfilled, as we have been fulfilled, as we have searched this precious scripture and studied it. Christians, believers, need to be ready. We need to be in a very prayerful way. We need to be sober. We need to be diligent. We need to be looking and living each day as if the Lord Jesus Christ would come before the very day ends, or even before the very hour ends. As we look at these verses of Scripture here, and we have read through now a couple of times these scriptures, and I'll begin, then we'll kind of get down to verse 42 and 43. But once again, to read Matthew 24:39, and knew not until the flood. Let's see, we can even back up a little bit before that here. And in verse 36, it says, but of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only, the Lord Jesus tells us. But as the days of Noah were, so also shall the coming of the Son of Man be. For in that day, in those days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark. Now, we've discussed this, and they had no concern that to them the end of the world was coming, and to them it does. That was the end of their life when Noah entered into the ark. And knew not, verse 39, until the flood came, took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Different from the flood, all men were destroyed. When the Lord Jesus comes, when he comes and enjoys taking his own home, you will be left if you don't know the Lord Jesus. You will be left. And we're going to talk about what that future means to you. So please listen very carefully. Knew not until the flood came and took them all away. No, shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. He's coming, and he's coming very soon. But again, different from the flood. The flood destroyed him. You're dead. You went to the place of torment. There'll be a step into this life that'll seem like the place of torment, but it will not be the place of torment, because it's going to be here on earth. It's going to be literally hell on earth. And it describes it here just a little bit more, and says, then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken, the other left. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. Ye know not what hour he doth come. Even though we've had all the warnings, everything we have shown, we need to understand that that time is coming, and it's coming very soon. And now verse 43, but know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. This chapter has surely taught us that in spite of the signs, the fulfillment of prophecy, and all the things that are happening around us that our God has warned us about, his coming will still be a surprise. Even though all these things have come to pass, all the warnings, all the signs, everything that we have studied and we know, it'll still be a surprise to the world. He will come when the world least expects him. But we as believers should be expecting him. I'm afraid we're not, but we should be. We should be expecting him to come any day, any hour, any minute. And that's what this is all about. And as we look at this verse 43, if we knew what hour, what time that the thief was going to break into our house, And it seems in today's society that that's more and more common than ever. But if we knew what time he was coming, we would be ready. We would be ready. We could have our doors locked. We could have our guns loaded. We would be ready for that thief when he came onto our property, into our house to rob us or to hurt us. We would be ready. We'd be ready. That explanation there is the same for us concerning our Lord's return. There would be an urgency in our soul, in our hearts, in our lives. We would be waiting. We would be anxious if we knew that at 9 o'clock or at midnight that thief was going to try to break through the door, break through the window, or break into our house. We knew at exact time we would be prepared. We would be ready. He said, oh my, we don't want to have the guns loaded. Yes, we do. Because somebody breaks into my house, comes in to steal my things, or to bring harm to me or my family, I am going to be armed ready. Now, we need to be that prepared, thinking, knowing that our Savior, our Lord, our God is going to call us home any second. Just as if we knew what time that thief was coming through the door, we're prepared for him, we need to have our lives as prepared because our Lord is coming. And he's coming very soon. You say, well, that's what Paul said. That's what Peter said. Yes. That's what preachers have said for years. And he's not come yet. So is that your excuse for being lazy? Is that your excuse for not serving him? Not being busy about his business, telling people the wonderful news of the gospel? This return is going to come very soon. It's going to be a great day for the saved. I hope that you know the Lord Jesus, and I hope you're serving him. And we have some examples here back in Matthew, in the next chapter, concerning those that were not ready. Do you realize, have you come to the conclusion and recognize, as we read verse 40 and 41, that there are going to be mothers there that are lost, that when this takes place, their children are going to be gone? Have you realized that? Have you realized that there are going to be wives that are saved and husbands that are not? That in the middle of the night or in the middle of the day, maybe it's going to be in the middle of the day, the husband goes to work, he comes home, she's gone. Or he could hear the slightest sound. And maybe it's as that wife, or it could be the husband. The husband's saved and the wife is not. How about your job? How about your job? Your employer is waiting for you to show up for work, but you're not going to show up for work. Or maybe your employer's saved and you're not. You show up for work and your employer's not there because he was saved. How about the planes? How about the pilots that are born again? that are truly saved, they've trusted in the Lord Jesus, they'll be gone. Those that are the train engineers that are driving the trains, driving the buses, those that are driving the cars, you're on your way to the grocery store. You're on your way to work, and Jesus calls us home. What happens to that car? What happens to the people that that car runs into? Yes. I believe that there's just a remnant in this world that's saved. Just a remnant. But with the children gone, with those that are driving the cars, flying the planes, driving the trains, the buses, the cars, all these things, there is going to be a great question. What happened? Now, let me make this very, very clear for you. Because those, yourself included, that have heard the gospel, you've heard of the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. You have heard that Jesus died on the cross for you and shed his blood for you. You have heard that you need to invite him into your heart. You need to recognize, as the Holy Spirit convicts you and shows you you're a sinner and then introduces you to the Lord Jesus, that you need to say yes. But you didn't. You need to recognize, you need to realize that if Jesus calls us home this very hour and you have decided to trust in your church membership, because you see, church members, many, most, are professing Christians, but they do not possess, they're not possessing salvation by grace, the grace of God. They will be left behind, and you may be one of them. You will be left behind, and if you are, there is no opportunity of salvation for you in the tribulation period. Only for those that have not heard, those that have never been told the gospel, they are the only ones that can receive salvation, and many of those will be put to death. But you will not have that opportunity. You will not find that, because it's not going to be something that is an opportunity for you, because you've heard it now. We are in the day of grace. You need to trust in him. You need to come by faith to him. You would think that multitudes would be saved as soon as the tribulation starts. There's going to be many saved because we've got 144,000 preachers there, but you're not going to be one of them. You need to trust in Jesus today. You need to listen to that Holy Spirit as he's talking to you today. Let's look at Revelation chapter 3, verse 10. Revelation chapter 3, verse 10. Verse 9, we'll start there. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. If you come now, you don't have to go through the tribulation period. It is urgent. It is critical that today that you stop being just a professing Christian and be a possessing, to possess the Holy Spirit. And that requires you to invite him into your heart. So many churches, they have fallen into the need of baptism. They have fallen into the need of church membership, of taking the Lord's Supper, communion. All these things are required. None of them are required. It is good. It is wonderful to follow the Lord in his callings, in to be baptized after you're saved, to enjoy the Lord's Supper after you're saved. But none of these are required. To join a church, the Bible-believing, soul-winning church, there, that's what you need to do. But please, please, do not hold on to that as if it's your salvation, because it's not. You're going to find yourself, if Jesus calls the church home, believers, true believers home, you're going to find yourself left. And since you have heard the gospel, you're doomed. So please, please, call upon the Lord Jesus. Trust in him. While we're back in this area, let's go to 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. It's a wonderful study. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. In other words, the work of the Antichrist, the spirit of the Antichrist is at work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. Then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him, whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. The love of the truth is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Accepting him into your heart, there is what you need to do right now if you have not. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. That they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. You say, no, I'm not unrighteous. I'm a good person. If you have not come by faith to Jesus Christ and be covered by the precious blood of Jesus, you are unrighteous. The scripture says you're condemned already. Please do not trust in the lies that have been preached for so many years. You just need to come by faith to Jesus and trust in him. Please, please, trust in the Lord Jesus Christ today. Call upon him. That text there is tremendous. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and again, it begins with the 7th verse, because for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out. And it's what a joy to come and trust in Jesus now, because there is going to be a day that the Holy Spirit is going to be taken out of here. He will be taken out at the same time the church leaves. So understand that all Christians, all true believers, the influence that they have will be gone from the earth, and the Holy Spirit, with his influence, will be gone. There will be nothing to hinder the Antichrist, the devil. And he's the one that's causing all the issues today. But he will have full reign. The only reason it hasn't went full-blown today is because of the presence of the church, and that means the presence of the Holy Spirit. But the day that that's gone, the day that that's gone, so please, that you trust and see that you believe this. Once again, verse 10, with all deceivableness and unrighteousness in them that perish because they receive not the love of the truth. The gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Call upon him, trust in him, invite him to come in to your heart to save you, please. We come back now to Matthew. Once again, for this verse 43 is what it's all about. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken into. Therefore, be ye also ready. For in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. He is going to come, and even though we have all these signs, all the things that have come to pass, all the prophecies that have been fulfilled, the weather, the storms, the evilness that is in the world today, all these things have been told that are going to come. They've come, and yet we're still going to be surprised the day that Jesus comes, because most people are not ready. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household, to give them meat in due season? Now, as we look at this scripture here, we need to understand the word that is spoken of here, the stewards of the mysteries of God. We need to realize, and we can find this back in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1, that the good stewards of the manifold grace of God, all believers are stewards. We find that in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. Believers are stewards. We give out the great news of the Lord Jesus Christ, the good news that Jesus saves. We are ministers, would be another word for that, and not just your preacher that stands in the pulpit on Sunday morning. We are all ministers. We are all stewards, and a steward is a servant. That's the reason when people would say reverend to me, I don't like that, because I'm a servant. I'm a steward. I'm a preacher of the gospel. The only one we're to reverence is our Lord Jesus. The only one we're to reverence is God the Father. Please. And it tells us here to give meat in due season. To give meat in due season. It's the end of verse 45. So we have the ruler of the household to give meat. We teach, whether I'm preaching on Sunday morning, Sunday school class, Bible study, radio programs, whatever we have, I have always taught one verse at a time. We take a book of the Bible and we study it and we enjoy it. And we are there to glean what God has for us. And as believers with the Holy Spirit, we begin as a young believer, if you've just been saved, you have to start just like a child with the milk. But at the same time, when we teach the Word of God, we are teaching the Word of God at the levels of giving out milk and giving out meat, something stronger, so that we can all grow, so that we can enjoy the presence of the Lord Jesus, so that we can do His will, so we can be ready for His coming. All these things we have to be prepared for. There is nothing more important than serving God. Being ready. That's what it's talking about. We're going to start there the next time we come together. I hope you're ready. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?